by our devotion and our faithfulness to His church. So this is when I was born. But sometimes I've listened very carefully to what some preachers teach and say. It's almost like that I, if I'm faithful in His church, am in a better position than Enoch was. God will look upon me with more favor. God translated Enoch directly. Enoch must have been a pretty faithful fellow. So what I've always said is, look, faithfulness is what it's all about. Now, to be faithful now, you don't have options. You can't say, well, I can serve God just as well at home. No, you can't. And you say, well, I can serve God just as well out in the woods hunting because I'm close to God out there. That's just as good as going to church. No, it's not. You want to be faithful in this time in which we live? You be faithful to the body of Christ. That's it. Period. No exceptions. But sometimes we harp on that so much that we act like the church and the people in it are superior to the people of old times. They had a whole lot less to work with than we do. And if they were faithful, God looks upon them with just as much favor as He does anybody that's faithful in His church. We just happen to be born in this period of time. So tonight, I simply ask this question. Are we not all the sons of Abraham? The Bible indicates we are. Galatians 3:6, Romans 2:28-29, Colossians 2:9-11. Is God going to penalize Isaac because he didn't take the Lord's Supper? Is He going to penalize Abraham because he wasn't faithful in the church? Certainly not. God judges men in the time in which they live, and He judges them by the way they worship Him. If they worship Him correctly, He considers them to be faithful. If they don't worship Him correctly, He doesn't consider them to be faithful. That may sound like an oversimplification, but that's the way it is. Are we not all the sons of Abraham? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. I believed God, and it was accounted to me for righteousness. The only righteousness Abraham had was the righteousness of the seed who was to come. Even though Christ hadn't come, even though He hadn't been crucified, Abraham believed God that He would send a seed, and God imputed that sin's right, that seed's righteousness to him because he believed. Doesn't matter when you were born, in the past, during His ministry, or now. If you believed God's messianic promise of a seed and put your faith in God's promise, God imputed to you the righteousness of a son who had never yet come and lived in flesh, and He did it by faith. Now, just exactly who is a Jew in God's eyes? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, Romans 2:28-29. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men. So God circumcised our hearts. And God circumcised our hearts when we believed. And He did it in response to our belief of His testimony that His Son has come, sacrificed Himself, gave His blood, and become the only one through whom we can go to receive salvation. Did Abraham understand all that? No. But he believed God, and he believed the promise of God, and he believed God would send a Messiah, a seed. And Abraham was just as saved as I'm saved today. And when Abraham is judged, he will be judged for how faithful he was in the way he worshiped in that day and time in the age of the patriarchs. And Enoch will be judged for how faithful he was in the age of innocence. And Abel will be judged on how faithful he was. Well, how faithful was Abel? He did it exactly the way God said and brought the fat of the animal along with him to the altar. If I had lived in the time of Abel, how would I have been judged? By whether or not I offered the sacrifice that God directed implicitly and brought the fat of the animal, which was a picture of the coming body of Christ, and the blood of the innocent animals was a picture of his blood. As Abel, I wouldn't have to have understood that, but I was worshiping God, believing his promise. He'd send a seed, and God would have considered me faithful. Well, but for he that is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Abraham wasn't a Jew. The Jews are descendant of Judah. And neither was Enoch a Jew. But they were born before that time. And circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now notice what he says in Colossians 2, 9 through 11. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. And you're not complete any other way except in Christ. And Christ is the head of the church. And you're not worshiping Christ correctly if you're not in the place where he is the head of it, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I want you to notice what Paul said in Romans 11, 5. Even so then at this present time, Paul said right now while I'm writing, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. To whom was he referring? There was only one remnant. Those who were worshiping God correctly. Who were they? The first New Testament church. They were the first church, and they were the remnant of believers, and Jesus brought them through. And there has always been a remnant. And in a matter of speaking, we are sons of Abraham. We are Jews by circumcision of our heart. And we are a remnant. How did we get saved? According to the election of grace. A church is a remnant. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, Paul said even at that time there was a remnant. Did he mean there was some little secret sect of Jews off somewhere that we don't know anything about that were still worshiping God according to the law and God was accepting it? No. He had to mean the first New Testament churches. They were a remnant. We are a remnant. Notice what he says in Romans 11, 25 through 27. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Don't ever think that the local church is superior to Israel in the sense that if they were faithful in the nation of Israel to God, that God looks down his nose on them and doesn't think as much of them as he does of us. That isn't true. God has always measured faithfulness. Well, I wasn't born in the age of the law. I wasn't born at the time of the temple. I wasn't born when Jesus was here. I wasn't born after Abel sinned. I wasn't born in the time of Noah. I was born right here, right now. So God's going to measure my faithfulness on how true and faithful I am in his church, which is a measure of worship. And I don't worship him correctly if I'm not worshiping him in a church that's teaching and preaching his word. He indicates this that when he comes back, there will be a remnant here. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverance, shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. He says, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Remember this group down here in the wilderness, the Negev wilderness? They're down there, and they're very real. Revelation 12, 17. And the dragon was wrought with a woman, Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Her seed is Jesus Christ. And these are 144,000 Jews who are faithful to the Lord, that are down in the Negev wilderness with the woman, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And if that isn't what we're doing here, then just pray tell me, what are we doing? Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's a remnant, and that's a remnant of believers. And they're down there in the Negev testifying to that woman. And this is down toward the end of the tribulation period. The seventh trumpet hasn't blown, but that's a remnant. You mean to tell me that because here in Dardanelle, Arkansas, I come over here three times a week, and I teach and preach the truth of God, and I try to observe the ordinances correctly, and I try to worship correctly, and I confess my sins to God and ask for forgiveness, you think that makes me superior to these people down here in the Negev that are his remnant, that are doing the same thing? I think not. God's going to judge us for our faithfulness. Well, I'm not in the Negev. I'm not one of the 144,000 Jews. I'm a person right here in Dardanelle, Arkansas, and this is a local church, and this is where the truth is taught, and I'm a member of it, This is what God's going to judge me for. But don't ever think that the church, and because you're a member of it, it makes you superior to those people in the Old Testament. When God judges us, he's going to judge us for faithfulness, and he's going to judge us for the age and dispensation of time in which we live. We're going to be judged for right now, for where we are and who we are. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Well, they wouldn't let him be ruler. They rejected him. So what did he do? Matthew 23:37-39. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And sure enough, in Micah 5:3, after 5:2, he gave them up. Therefore, when he gave them up, he gave them up. That's exactly what he told would happen 700 years before it happened. Until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, he told there'd be a tribulation period. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. I'm his brother. There are numerous scriptures that testify to that. I was made an adopted son of God. I'm an adopted brother. But does that mean that all the others who have been faithful down through the ages are not his brethren? Then why do the people in Israel call each other brethren? Why have they always done that through history? Why are they called the brethren in the Old Testament? Why do they call one another brethren? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't believe these are just church members. I believe these are the faithful of all the ages. And I believe they're the ones that come back with him. And I think some are more faithful than others. I believe Abraham worshipped God correctly after he became his child by believing his promise. I believe that Jacob, in spite of all of his troubles and trials and consternation and fighting against the will of God, I believe Jacob ended up worshiping God correctly. I believe David, in spite of all his fleshly pride and all his fleshly powers, I believe he ended up worshiping God correctly. God's going to judge every one of us individually. And he's going to judge us for how we worshiped him. Now, I'm not David. I'm not in the age of David or any of the others. I've got to be faithful in one of his churches. That's what he's going to judge me for. But I don't think I'm superior to these people. And I don't think when you hear people talk about the bride all the time, that the bride is just going to be a separate little entity that Jesus loves more than anybody else. Well, I do think the bride is going to be in heaven with Jesus. And I do think they're going to be in a bridal capacity. And I do think it's a bridal relationship. I do believe that. And I believe they're going to be right there where Jesus is, everywhere he goes. But if you think I believe that Abraham and Enoch and all the rest of those who were faithful in the Old Testament, Jesus is going to shoo them away and say, no, no, this is my bride here, and you guys are a bunch of has-beens. It's not going to work that way. God is going to reward for faithfulness. Am I saying Abraham's going to be in the bride? No. Am I saying that Jacob's going to be in the bride? No. Am I saying that Enoch's going to be in the bride? No. The bride is a New Testament entity. But sometimes I have observed that people become elitist. And they act like they're because they're in the bride.
I'm going to be closer to the Lord than Jacob and Abraham.
That isn't true. You're going to have a relationship with him. It's going to be a wonderful, marvelous relationship. But if you think God's going to penalize them and reward you because you happen to be born in this dispensation of time, you're quite wrong. It's been faithfulness in every age. That's why I harp on it so much. When you come before the judgment seat of Christ, I've got to give an answer as your pastor. I'm responsible for exhorting you to be faithful to God and his church. And if I fail in that assignment, I'll have to answer to the Lord. Revelation 17:12-14. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this isn't too far off. Those 10 kings are 10 Arabic nations, which have received no kingdom as yet. But they're rising now. But receive power as 1 hour, a short period of time with the beast, the Antichrist. And I believe he's alive and breathing today. These have one mind and give their power and strength unto the beast. I believe they're 10 Arabic nations. These shall make war with the Lamb. They will come against the children of God, especially the 144,000 in the wilderness. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called. They're saved. But they're not only saved, they're chosen. And why are they chosen? Because they're faithful. If you think that that's just made up of faithful church members, you have my sympathy. The bride is made up of faithful church members. I don't question that. But if you think they're going to be the only ones that are around him and in his immediate presence, and the only one who are going to have a daily conversation and ability to be taught of him and to be with him, and you think just because we happen to be born in this age of the church that God has picked us out as a very special group, that if we're faithful here, we can thumb our nose at Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Enoch and all the rest. It doesn't work that way. And I run into some preachers sometimes that are elitist. And they act like that faithfulness in the Old Testament wasn't as important. I think this is all the faithful of all the ages. And I believe in every age there have been people that were saved. And I believe in every age there have been people that were not only saved, but after they got saved, because they believed God's promise, like Abraham, they were chosen. And God chose them. And when he makes up his jewels, they're going to be part of it. Faithful is the key word. Well, why do I do this? Because sometimes I think people get the idea that these Old Testament people were just a bunch of yahoos that are going to play second fiddle out in left field somewhere. And they aren't. I wish I had the faith that Enoch had. I wish I had the faith that Isaac had. I don't. But brothers and sisters in Christ, that's the faithful of all the ages. That's not just the bride. You say, well, what about all those people that aren't faithful? They're not going to be in his immediate presence. You say, are you saying that they're not coming back with him? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying they're not going to be in his immediate presence. But I think there are going to be people other than the bride in his immediate presence inside that heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, and I don't think the New Testament's going to be shut out of it. Daniel 7, 20 through 22. Now the 10 horns that were in his head and of the other which came up, the Antichrist, the 11th horn, Daniel's fourth beast, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose looked more stout than his fellows. We're getting pretty close to his coming. The little horn, the Antichrist. I beheld the same horde made war with the saints and prevailed against them. He's going to whip Israel. You say, well, Israel not saints, they're unbelievers. They were when this was written by Daniel, they were saints. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and all of his saints, both from the Old Testament and New Testament, are going to be judged. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. I don't think that time's a long way off. Revelation 11, 15, 18, the saints possessed the kingdom. And the seventh angel said, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kings of this world have become the kings of his Lord and his Christ, he shall reign forever. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. It's got to be here for them to possess it. And this is when it comes on the blowing of the seventh trumpet. Verse 18. And the nations were angry. Thy wrath is come. It doesn't come until the blowing of the seventh trumpet. And the time of the dead, these are resurrected dead people at the first resurrection, what we call the rapture. That they should be judged, you've got to resurrect them to judge them. Thou shouldest give rewards unto thy servants, the prophets, Old Testament, saints, and them that fear thy name, reverential, respected, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. So in the meantime, this is what God expects from us. I'm glad I was born in this dispensation of time. I'm glad I was born in the church age. I'm glad I have a completed Bible. But if you think that God's going to treat us like something super special because of our faithfulness, you're quite wrong. Because some of those people in the Old Testament were a whole lot more faithful than we are. And they didn't have the testimony of God in the New Testament. They hadn't seen the Messiah. They hadn't had the proofs of the miracles recorded. And they didn't have the completed Word of God. And I'll tell you, we are more responsible to God than they are. Because we have the completed Word of God. All of it. And we have the testimony of Christ. Personally. We have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They had to operate on the Old Testament. Believe me, if they believed God's promise of a seed, and if they came and willingly offered the right sacrifice out of a reverential fear and respect to God and wanted to worship Him correctly, don't you ever think they're going to be shut out of God's favoritism. Israel is God's jewel. And faithfulness in the nation of Israel, it was as important to God as faithfulness in the church. It's faithfulness. Since I wasn't born back then and you weren't, we don't have any choice in this matter. We're supposed to be faithful in the church. And here's what we're supposed to do. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. God used Paul to write this. Don't you ever think Paul didn't love you, because he wrote this to you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable. When you and I come before the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be judged for how much we learn to love one another, just as God did toward us. So that when we come before the judgment seat, and we have this judgment, our hearts will be unblameable, and we will not have been guilty of butchering and bartering one another and saying unkind things and hurting the church. Micah 5:4. Well, we covered Micah 5:2 and 5:3, and here's the millennial reign. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. We're going to be on this earth in glorified bodies. All the saints of all the ages are going to be on this earth. Abraham's going to have direct conversations with Messiah, with his Lord. So is Isaac, so is Jacob, so is David, so is Enoch, and so are all the other faithful. Now, if you want to be a part of his jewels, and you want a job and a position in heaven where you'll have an opportunity to continuously serve him and please him, then since you weren't born in the age of innocence, the age of the patriarchs, the age of the law, you were born right here, right now. You're going to have to be faithful in God's church. There's no option to this. Now, I've covered all this for this reason. I very rarely talk about this. I only talk about faithfulness in the church. Why? Because all those people, their lives are over. And what's important is how we fulfill the rest of our lives. Now, when he comes back to this earth, he's going to be there for us. And the more faithful we were to him, the closer we're going to get to live to him. This isn't just a voice for now. My sheep hear my voice, 10:27-28, and I know them and they follow me. In the millennial reign, he's going to be the chief shepherd. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I'm going to be on this earth in a glorified body, and he's going to be here as the chief shepherd, the king and the ruler of all the earth, the high priest of all men. I want to be positioned, stationed as close to him as I can. That's the same thing I want for my wife, for my children, for every one of you. But every human being has to live their own life, have their own spiritual goals and dreams and aspirations. All I can do is tell you he's real. You live now. You be faithful in God's church. He'll make the assessment. But if you're not faithful in his church, you can kiss the bride position goodbye. And you can kiss being given a responsible position in the millennial reign, sayonara. Because this is the only opportunity you're going to get. It's the only opportunity I'm going to forget. We only have one life. From this night forward, we ought to make up our minds that we're going to be faithful to God and his church. And we're going to put the church in our hearts and in our lives, and we are the church. It's not the building. It's not a great universal invisible body. It's every one of us that know the Lord as our Savior, that have been scripturally baptized, that are a part of this body. That's the church. So don't worry about all this other, about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Just be faithful in God's church. And believe me, the Lord will make the right assessment. As the lights are turned on, and as Kenneth and John Mills and Charlie Ellis and Brother...